My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. With your permission, Sovereign Lord, in the Blessed Sacrament, we're now in this period leading up to Pentecost, these 10 days between the Feast of the Ascension and the Feast of Pentecost next Sunday. And well, we can ask during this period, we are asking you, Jesus, to send your Holy Spirit to us, and we think of that image, well, the reality really at Pentecost itself, when the Spirit came down upon the disciples like a powerful wind, and in some way you had foretold that in your conversation with Nicodemus towards the beginning of your public life, when Nicodemus came and started asking you about your teaching. And you said then that the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. That is how it is with all who are born of the Spirit. Now, St. John, who wrote this gospel, was writing in Greek, and apparently the same word is used for wind and spirit here. So the translators decide when they're going to say wind and when they're going to say spirit, but it's the same. And so the wind may blow where it will, or the spirit may blow where it will. And we think of your Holy Spirit blowing, guiding the whole of history, really. It's like the providence of God that moves things onwards and brings about the completion and the fulfillment of your plans. Your Spirit comes and stirs hearts, and it stirs especially those who are generous of heart. Your Spirit guides them to ambitious goals and dreams. And when this wind of the Spirit blows, we can try to resist the wind. We could try to hide from it. We could try to shelter from it, to avoid it. Or we could let ourselves be swept along. We could put up the sails of the boat. This is an image that the fathers of the church and many teachers and theologians have used. We put up the sails of the boat, and the Holy Spirit provides the wind that pushes the boat forward. But it does require opening ourselves. It requires being ready to receive the inspirations of the Spirit, to be ready to be pushed a little bit, or pushed a lot, depending. To make resolutions, to allow ourselves to be inspired to make resolutions, to improve our relationship with God, to improve our relationship with other people, to improve our attitudes in some way, or our outlook. St. Jose Maria said the following prayer. It says, "Give us a spirit that will be docile to the gentle impulse of your grace, O God, Holy Spirit, and make us generous in our responses to that grace. Grant that with a human loyalty and a supernatural faithfulness, we may always bear fruit according to your desire, and that this fruit may remain. So that's a powerful image of the Holy Spirit, of being that strong wind that can blow us forward in a long distance. But there are other images as well that are applied to the Holy Spirit, and one of them is fire. This is referred to in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, where there's a point that says that fire symbolizes the transforming energy of the Holy Spirit's actions. The prayer of the prophet Elijah, who arose like fire and whose word burned like a torch, brought down fire from heaven on the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. You might remember that event where Elijah was facing 450 false prophets, and they had a contest to see each one would call upon their God to see which was the true God. And so the 450 false prophets, they set up their altar of sacrifice, and they danced around and chanted and for hours and hours and hours to calling on their false God to send down fire. And of course, nothing happened. And Elijah was just laughing at them, really mocking them. And then it was his turn, and he built an altar. And then he called for water to be poured all over the sacrifice and the altar itself. And then he called for more water and another sort of dousing. And then he called for more water just to make sure, you know, this was going to be a genuine sign from heaven. This is actually depicted if you go down to the Carmelite monastery at Aylesford. If you do a pilgrimage down there, there are some representations of this. So anyway, having set up this thoroughly wet, soaking sacrifice, he calls on the true God, who sends down fire that just licks up all the water and burns up the sacrifice, and just proves that Elijah is that his God is the true God. So he's the symbol of fire, and this event, we're told, was a figure of the fire of the Holy Spirit, who transforms what he touches. And then John the Baptist, who goes before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, proclaims Christ as the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Do you remember in the Gospels when James and John, they're the sons of thunder, as Jesus calls them, sort of nickname, I suppose, they had fiery temperaments, and there's one place where the Samaritans weren't receiving Jesus well, so they ask a question which I suppose seemed perfectly reasonable to them. They said, shall we call down fire on this village to burn it up? I suppose they thought that's the spirit of Elijah, but Jesus said, no, you've got the wrong spirit. That's not the fire that I've come to bring to the earth. It's the fire of the love of God. I came to cast fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled. St. Jose Maria, when he was quite small, quite young, in his teens, he learnt this, that phrase of Jesus. He learnt the Latin, "Ignem veni mittere in terram," "I've come to bring fire to the earth." And he would so take it to heart, and he was so close to those desires of Jesus to set fire to the earth with the love of God, that he would say this out loud and sometimes sing it. "Ignem veni mittere in terram," "I've come to bring fire to the earth." And this is the sign of the Holy Spirit, who of course at Pentecost comes down in the form of tongues of fire. And we often pray that prayer, maybe at the beginning of talks or circles, we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Well, it's something that obviously St. Jose Maria had very close to his own heart, because he's often talking about this fire. And the very first point of the way says, don't let your life be sterile, be useful, blaze a trail, shine forth with the light of your faith and of your love. And later it says, light up all the ways of the earth with the fire of Christ that you carry in your heart. So we pray to the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come and kindle in our hearts the fire of your love, so that you burn away, you know, all the lukewarmness and the laziness and the sensuality and all the things that kind of we allow in some way to fester in our hearts. And come with that burning fire that will set our hearts ablaze, that will make us focus on what is important, on your love, and not on our own kind of sensual pleasure seeking and things like that. There's a homily where St. Jose Maria says, you know, show us, you know, what needs to be burned and we will burn it. Show us what needs to be uprooted from our hearts and we will uproot it. And another symbol of the Holy Spirit is that of water. There's the passage that comes again in St. John's Gospel, where Jesus is by the well, and the Samaritan woman comes up to him, and they have a bit of a, you know, sort of awkward conversation at the beginning, where the woman's being a bit cagey, where Jesus is asking her to give him water. And anyway, then he starts talking about the living water, and goes on to say, whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again, but anyone who drinks the water that I shall give will never be thirsty again. The water that I shall give will turn into a spring inside him, welling up to eternal life. And in saying this, he was talking of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's one of the fathers of the church called Saint Cyril of Jerusalem has written about this, and he's asked, why is Jesus calling the grace of the Spirit water? I mean, we can understand the wind, the powerful wind, we can understand the fire that consumes everything and burns away iniquity and so on, and cleanses, purifies. But what about water? And he says, and Cyril says, that he calls the grace of the Spirit water because all things depend on water. Water produces herbs and living things. Water of the showers comes down from heaven, and coming down in one form has many different effects. One fountain waters the whole of paradise. One and the same rain comes down on all the world, yet it becomes white in the lily, red in the rose, purple in the violets and hyacinths, different and many colored in many different species. So the same rain comes down, but it has a different effect depending on what it falls on. So the rain is no different, and yet what the lily is to be is different from what the rose is to be. So it brings out what is needed in the lily and in the rose, and also in the in the vine and in the pomegranate, and you know, whatever is needed, the rain, which is one and the same, provides. So he says, well, it's the same spirit who comes down, but who provides whatever is needed. As the rain adapts itself to the things receiving it and becomes what is suitable to each. Similarly, the Holy Spirit, being one and of one nature and indivisible, imparts to each person his grace as according as he will. So whatever particular needs of soul I have, then the Holy Spirit will come and supply those needs. So if I'm lacking in a particular virtue, or I'm lacking in a particular, you know, in, I've got a weak will, you know, I keep making resolutions and I fail to put them into practice, well, the Holy Spirit will come and remedy that. Or if I've got a bit of a tendency to fly off the handle, I get a bit bad tempered, whatever, well, the Holy Spirit will come to remedy that. Whatever is needed, the same Spirit, the one Spirit, will provide the remedy for those needs. So we can say, and perhaps it's a practical thing during these days, just to pray, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. As I was walking here tonight, experiencing at close quarters the rain, and I was thinking, well, you know, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come down, and maybe it's coming down in the form of rain, the rain that's giving life and colour to all the plants and the vegetation and the flowers around. So maybe if you have to brave the elements, you can think that it's the Holy Spirit coming in answer to your prayers, or you can think that he will come in answer to your prayers. In fact, when Jesus talks to Nicodemus and he mentions about the Spirit, he's saying you need to be born again of water and the Spirit. And as he's talking to Nicodemus, called Nicodemus, who knows the law very well, knows the scriptures very well, he would probably think of a passage from the prophet Ezekiel, when Jesus mentioned that water and the Spirit, because in Ezekiel, God says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean, and a new spirit I will put within you. Now, you'd be pleased to know that another image that the fathers of the church bring is sunshine. So, you know, we've seen the rain, now the sunshine, because you get the likes of St. Basil the Great, who says that the Holy Spirit is simple in essence, but manifold in power. So he's one, but he has all different kinds of effects that he can do. He is present to each in his fullness, and in his fullness is present everywhere. All share in him, but he remains whole, like a beam of sunshine whose kindly influence benefits each creature, as though it were present to that creature alone, and shines over land and sea and dissolves in the air. So too, the Spirit is present like the sun to each individual who is capable of receiving him, and emits an influence which is sufficient to help them all, but is not divided, is not weakened, you know, because the Holy Spirit is concentrating on one person. It doesn't have less strength or less attention for somebody else. Through him, hearts are raised on high. The weak are led by the hand. Those who are advanced gain perfection. He it is who shines on those whose hearts are purified and stainless, and makes them truly spiritual through the common union they have with him. So all these images that we have of the Holy Spirit, and they may help us as we pray that prayer, come Holy Spirit, they may help us to reflect on what our real needs are and what, where we want the Spirit to help us, and especially to be docile, to be open to whatever he suggests. And we pray in this time of prayer, we pray that you send us inspirations, Lord. We pray that you send your Spirit to enlighten us. At the end of our prayer, we give you thanks for the good resolutions that we come to, the affections, you know, those motions of the heart by which we tell you that we love you, we want to love you, we want to be better, we want to say sorry, we want to share with you all the things that really concern us, and so on, those affections of the heart. And we thank you for the inspirations that you send us, and those perhaps new perspectives that we can get in our prayer, a new way of seeing things. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. It often happens, or it might happen, that, you know, perhaps we have a problem with a particular individual, and you know, we get a bit resentful and I don't know what, and come along, and maybe we feel, we talk to Jesus and we say, look, you know, I've been sort of driven potty by this person, and they don't seem to be reasonable, and you know, I think I'm completely in the right. And but then we pray about it, and then we say, well, actually, maybe, you know, I could give credit to that other person for you know, maybe they've got good motives, or maybe I could be a bit understanding. You know, we can come to a different way of viewing it, and that's part of these inspirations that we get in our prayer. St. Jose Maria says, Christian tradition has summarized the attitude we should adopt toward the Holy Spirit in just one idea, docility. This means we should be aware of the work of the Spirit all around us. And in ourselves, we should recognize the gifts he distributes, the movements and institutions, or perhaps inspirations he inspires, the affections and decisions he provokes in our hearts. If we let ourselves be guided by the Holy Spirit, our spiritual vitality will grow. We will place ourselves in the hands of our Father God with the same spontaneity and confidence with which a child abandons himself to his father's care. Well, we can finish this meditation by turning to Our Lady, whom we honor as the spouse of the Holy Spirit, the one who is so closely united to the Holy Spirit, that her whole life is his life. Her whole life is tied up in listening to what he's saying and being ready to put it into effect. You know, whatever the cost, whatever the demands that are made on her, she says, so be it. So be it. Let it be done unto me according to your word. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede.